time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
We are getting topical on this week's episode of Abandoned Manitoba. Gordon Goldsborough joins me now. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
What are we talking about today?
We're talking about historic designation for buildings. I thought this would be a good conversation given the recent news we've heard about two buildings here in Winnipeg that have structural problems. One is an apartment block whose residents had to be evacuated quickly, and the other is a nationally designated church.
And that would be the Holy Trinity Anglican Church, correct?
That is right. The church was built in 1884, and I think what surprises people is that its walls were built right on the ground. There is no foundation. And this is not as unusual as it might seem. Several years ago, I toured one of the older buildings in the downtown campus of the University of Manitoba, and it had no foundation either. Holy Trinity's congregation has learned the cost of building a foundation could exceed $7 million, and it simply doesn't have the money. Some people have asked why the governments of Winnipeg, Manitoba, and Canada don't step in to save the church, given that it's a national historic building. Frankly, I think it's unlikely that historic designation will be the motivating reason that governments will make a financial contribution to save the church.
Why is that?
Well, because I suspect that government officials fear doing so will set a dangerous precedent. If they help save Holy Trinity for the sole reason that it's a designated historic building, the owners of other designated buildings that have structural problems will expect similar treatment. If designation was a guarantee of government help with a building's long-term maintenance, every owner of a crumbling old building would seek designation. Governments might refuse to designate any more buildings to minimize their financial liability. Now, governments will contribute to heritage building conservation when there's a widespread public outcry to do so. So there's still hope, I think, for Holy Trinity. It is, after all, a magnificent building.
How does a building become designated by some level of government?
Well, at the federal level, advice on historically significant buildings comes from the Historic Sites and Monuments Board of Canada. Provincially, the equivalent body is the Manitoba Heritage Council. And locally, it's MHACs, Municipal Heritage Advisory Committees. We talked about them a little bit last week. Here in Winnipeg, the MHAC is called the Historical Buildings and Resources Committee, or HBRC. I was a member of the HBRC for 3 years, so I gained a bit of insight into its workings. Essentially, the committee considers evidence that a particular building is important for any number of reasons and makes a recommendation on whether it should be designated by the city government. Ultimately, designation means that historians think a particular building is important and politicians have agreed.
How many government-designated buildings are in Manitoba?
Well, I queried the Manitoba Historical Society's database on this and found 51 nationally designated buildings around the province, 107 provincially designated ones, and 654 municipally designated structures.
And are any buildings designated by more than one level of government?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, this is kind of interesting. 22 of them have national and provincial designation. 20 of them, including Holy Trinity Church, have national and municipal. 33 have provincial and municipal. And 10 sites, all of which, by the way, are in Winnipeg, except for one, which is in Brandon, are designated at all three levels, national, provincial, and municipal.
So what's the process of designation?
Well, again, my experience comes from my time on the HBRC. The first step was that a professional historian prepared a report on a candidate's building's history and its architecture. In some cases, committee members visited the site to see for themselves what were described as character-defining elements, or CDEs. These are the features of a building that, if they were removed or altered significantly, would compromise its importance. After reviewing all available information about a building, the committee then provides a rating that considers things like its age, its architectural style, the uniqueness of its design or construction, and the integrity of the interior and exterior, and also, in fact, the historical importance of past owners and the context within the surrounding neighborhood. All of this gets wrapped up in a rating that is the basis for a recommendation to the Winnipeg City Council.
But city councillors may not accept the committee's recommendation.
That's right. They consider the views of property owners and the neighborhood as well. Buildings in some part of Winnipeg, for example, those in the Exchange District, are more likely to be designated than those in other parts of the city. Once designated, a building cannot be demolished or altered in a way that diminishes its CDEs without permission of the city council.
What kind of protection does designation provide?
Well, in theory, a designated building must be maintained by its owner, and they cannot undertake renovations that would threaten its CDEs. In my experience on the HBRC, most owners of candidate buildings, ones that were being considered for designation, oppose designation. And I think the reason for that is that they fear that it overprotects the buildings. In other words, that designation would prevent them from doing, well, basically whatever they want with their building.
Is there any economic benefit to having a building designated?
In some cases, yes. Designated buildings are eligible for funding from various sources that are not available to undesignated buildings. And sometimes government employees can also provide useful advice on preservation, restoration, rehabilitation. If you need to know what your building needs, well, you need advice. And that's often what the government can provide. The Manitoba government has a program called the Heritage Resources Conservation Grant Program, and it can provide funding on a one-to-one matching basis. In other words, you can get money that helps in doing some of the necessary work. The funds, of course, are not unlimited. So the benefit of designation mostly comes down to moral suasion. In other words, to show the public and the building owners that certain buildings are historically important and they should take pride in them and work to preserve them long term.
Can a designated building lose their designation status?
Oh, yeah. If the building is deemed to pose a health or a safety risk, you know, if it's structurally compromised in a very significant way, or if the owner can make a compelling case, yes, a building can be de-designated. Here in Winnipeg, the HBRC is asked, in cases where a de-designation is requested, to make a recommendation. And they base this assessment on the building's heritage character. In other words, they look at simply how significant it is and not taking into account things like the economic concerns of the owner or the potential hazards if the building was to, say, fall down. Those things are taken into account, though, by city officials, and they will ultimately make a decision. So that's how it happens, that the owner would say, you know, my building is just about ready to fall down. Somebody will look at it and say, yep, it's going to go. And then, of course, they will be permitted to take it down to prevent people from being injured if it fell down catastrophically. But on the other hand, of course, it could be destroyed by an accident, by a fire or some other means. And of course, if it's not there anymore, you can't designate something that's gone.
How many de-designated historic buildings are there in Manitoba?
You know, there's no good statistics on this. I've been trying to come up with a number, and so far, the Manitoba Historical Society database contains 8 buildings, all but one of them here in Winnipeg, whose designation status has been removed. There are more, but the other ones, well, they were demolished after the designation was removed. But they say there are 8 that were de-designated, probably because they were renovated so unsympathetically that they were basically unrecognizable.
Thanks for this overview, Gordon. It's been really helpful.
Well, you know, I hope this conversation gives our listeners some context when people point to historic designation as a magic bullet. They say, oh, we can't tear it down. It's a national historic site. Well, unfortunately, you know, that isn't the case. There isn't really a lot of, you know, well, there's not a lot of dollars connected to that, for one thing. If people want to see governments help to save designated buildings, they need to apply prolonged pressure on our elected officials. Politicians have to see that a large number of voters believe fervently that a building is worth an investment from the public purse. Otherwise, if the concern for a beautiful heritage building occupies only a brief news cycle, It's doomed.
Fair point. What's up for next week, Gordon?
Well, earlier this year, Louis Riel was given the honorary title of first premier of Manitoba. Before that, MLA Alfred Boyd, who was the chief minister of Manitoba, was thought by some to be our first premier. And Boyd's successor, John Norquay, is sometimes described as the first premier born in Manitoba. But if Riel was our first premier, and he was born here too, of course, isn't he our first Manitoba premier? Well, it gets kind of complicated, and what I think this illustrates is that labeling someone or something as the first of anything can be fraught with difficulty. So next week, we're going to have some fun with the concept of the first person in Manitoba to do a variety of things.
I like it. Thanks, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.